Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and joining us is Herm Moore, longtime NFL wide receiver and a great one. And, of course, want to first catch up to see, because he got so involved in helping out and getting the Quick Lane Bowl. So, first off, Herm, tell me what you've been doing right now for the Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center people.
Well, with Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center, they've been the proud sponsor and title sponsor of the Quick Lane Bowl. And we're excited to have Duke Blue Devils and the Northern Illinois Huskies in town for the Quick Lane Bowl, and it's just a tremendous opportunity for us to, again, showcase some talent coming out of the collegiate level at the end of the season.
Yeah. How did you get involved with Quick Lane?
Well, I was approached, you know, at the time the Lions were the only team to host and actually run a bowl game, and being at Ford Field and the fact that I'm still here, deeply rooted in Michigan, it was a perfect fit. And then it was, you know, it's set up as the ACC versus the Big Ten. When we're fortunate enough to get Big Ten or ACC schools in, it's great. If not, we've always got some tremendous talent from the MAC. And we're proud of all the teams that come through and serving as an ambassador. And then also my family has been very well connected with the military, and the men of my family, my grandfather, my father, my uncles, my cousins. And when I heard about the fact that they were supporting our military veterans, that also was a great and tremendous way for me to get involved.
So now tell us about Quick, the company itself. How did it get involved, and how active is it?
Well, for those who aren't familiar with Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center, there's over 800 locations nationwide. They do routine maintenance on all makes and models of vehicles that you can go in and find one closest to you. And it's a growing company. And it's one that has been very supportive because they touch so many communities to be able to be involved with a bowl game. And then on top of that, to be involved with supporting our military vets, that's what they're about. They're always ready to serve their communities and be a part of where there is need.
That's great. And, of course, it's good to see. And how they must be very active in the area.
Oh, yeah, very active. In fact, my son and I, we go there to get our cars. It's not just being on there and talking about it, but we go in and get our cars worked on, which is a great thing. And I wasn't aware of it until they started doing a lot more to get out there and show their support in the community. It's, like I said, it's a company that's been growing very quickly. And being that they're now nationwide and like I say, 800 plus locations, they're somewhere near you. So look for them if you need some work done on your car.
There you go, Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. All right, let's talk about the wide receiver position in the National Football League, because I still remember going back. It was not the big receiver is now so prevalent. It's almost like you have to have big receivers. Can you talk about the ability? Because I still remember, you know, in the 70s and 80s, I mean, you didn't have the as many tall receivers. I mean, Rod Smith and yourself and all that really started to change that trend. How's that evolved?
Well, it's evolved because you used to have a big receiver. And I remember, John, when I came in, I was considered what they call a tweener. And I was between a tight end and a wide receiver because you really had that, the smaller guys, you know, it was under 6 feet or 6'2", you were considered pretty tall. You know, Jerry Rice was a big guy. He's a tall receiver in the NFL. And then all of a sudden you start getting the 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", guys coming through. And as long as we had ability to run, and it was all about the high ball. But what they started realizing, wow, these guys can actually run routes. They create matchup issues and problems. And the evolution of that position started to say, hey, if you can really work on these guys on their craft, and get them to run good routes and be good receivers in terms of catching the ball and body placement and all those things, you could you know, create a real nightmare for a defensive unit. And that's what has evolved. And now the guys, I think, they're not as physical as you saw in our era when it was myself and Chris and Michael Irvin and guys like that and Rod Smith you talk about. But they have the size. They have speed. They have the athletic ability. I just don't know if their craft is the same, you know, as what we saw then. But I do see that you have to have that big play guy that can create out of nothing on your roster.
Of that group, I mean, who do you kind of give the most credit for kind of turning everything and having the success as a tall receiver, kind of getting the league to accept it and thrive for it?
I think you got to look at guys like Chris and Michael Irving as being some of the guys at, 6'2". I mean, that was kind of where they were, and they were the big physical guys. And then when myself and Alvin Harper and guys came in, and Jake Reed and Rod Smith, and all of a sudden you got guys who could make plays, and then having the success that we had, and again, being in the Pro Bowl with those guys and setting NFL records on my end, I mean, that's the time when you start to really see teams going, if we can find more players like that, look at how they're dominating the NFL, having 100 catch seasons, having 1,200 to 1,500 yards receiving. They saw that we could be more than just a over-the-middle player that's they call us just really just conservative players, just go and run the in route or the out route. But they saw we could move around all over the ball.
No, and that's the great part, because, I mean, really, with the evolution of that position, that's when the expectation of 100, 120 catch seasons became now a reality. And it really, I mean, that changed the game significantly.
It did, because you started to see bigger safeties. They were already in existence. Atwater, John Lynch, Ronnie Lott, even though he was on the tail end of his career when I came in. Brian Dawkins, there were big safeties that were packing a punch. And then when you start getting these speedy receivers, it became a nightmare, because how do you get a guy that maybe he's not running as fast, and he's got to chase these fast big receivers who had the athletic ability and leaping ability, to now where these guys can really fly. So the safety position has had to constantly keep evolving over the years. And then the secondary, the cornerbacks went from being shorter guys when you had Darryl Green and Chris Dishman and some of these others, to all of a sudden now you got to have some 6 foot, 6'4" guys out on the perimeter that can play man-to-man coverage against these bigger physical receivers.
Yeah, and of course, now it's led to the fact that teams, Seattle, San Francisco, others, now have to take the position. It's like you've got to get long, angular corners that can try to match up against these big, tall receivers.
Yep, and they have to be smart, too, and they have to be able to get a decent jam at the line, and if they play off, be able to have good recovery speed. That was the biggest thing. I played against a guy by the name of Bobby Taylor. He was about 6'4", 6'5", defensive back that played with Philly, and I remember they tried to match him up with me, and then they'd have to sometimes bring Troy Vincent over, because the taller guys, they just didn't have that burst. They didn't have that quick makeup speed, and now you have guys who have it, and they're able to keep up, and the Richard Shermans and you just find these guys that are 6 feet or taller that can actually get out on the perimeter and hold it down on their own.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? Or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one? Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. Yeah, how does a guy like a Richard Sherman, for example, he doesn't have speed, he's more like about a 4.5 guy, could try to do it? Because, again, his footwork seems to be the thing that really sets him up, and also his smarts in being able to position himself against the good receivers.
It's kind of these guys, they don't have the size and the speed combination that you had with Woodson, Charles Woodson, and you have with Deion Sanders and stuff like that. But you have to be able to play the position. You got to be able to do route recognition. These guys, I think, have to also understand trends. They have to understand down and distance, and they have to be just aware. And I think when you look at Richard Sherman and some of these other guys that have had some success, they're able to get those key indicators that make them not get open up to the double moves or get beaten where they've given up way too much cushion. They're able to play the chains and play it smart. And a lot of that's coaching, but a lot of that is film study.
Oh, now in film study, and of course, the receivers have also become so smart in being able to, you know, recognize things themselves. Because again, it's like I think people don't appreciate now the way the game is, the adjustments that wide receivers have to make on the run based on how the coverages are.
Yeah, the coverages are a little tricky because, you know, it used to be where you just go in and you had your Tampa twos, you had your two deep, your two man, your man across, your four across, you know, all these other, you know, I won't call them basic, but now there's these hybrids. There's these combinations that you just really, you can see it one way, but then you're making an adjustment on the fly real time a little bit more frequently because there's multiple coverages that are being run through one defensive unit that may not be working in sync based on where the ball is placed. The other thing is, when I look at the receivers and I look at the way the passing game is today, there's just the ball is being thrown so much that there's opportunity for these guys to constantly – they're seeing a lot of coverage a lot of times. It's not just how do you play the run block. How do I go and push and seal on a safety as much? Because the emphasis isn't on the running game. It's all pass. And because of that, these guys are going to evolve, I think, a little quicker. I think they need to come in prepared to play right away. Teams aren't waiting as much for these young talents to develop.
Yeah, no question. And, of course, that's the tough part because, I mean, in college, particularly now, I mean, you had more structure in college with the routes than what's there at the coming out because with the spread offense and the air raid offense, I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, you don't have that route tree that everybody else had, you have to have in the NFL.
Right, and then also they're attacking the middles a lot more, and they're not really wanting to have that passing game. You know, the hitch route is still there, but not many teams want to run it, which is going to put you in second and short, third and short, and it baffles me why teams, when they get off coverage, they won't just throw it out there. But everyone's looking for that downfield 12-plus yard, 10-yard plus play. And I also noticed the middle is becoming a place where a lot of teams want to play. And that was like no man's territory when we played. You didn't want to play around the middle that much because of who was patrolling it and the way it was patrolled. So it's changed. And the receivers, I think, are, you know, they have some skill set. I think they have some size and speed and athleticism. But I just, you know, there are still some things that I think are lacking than what we saw from a discipline standpoint in the 90s and the early 2000s when you look at the routes that were being run by some really crafty people.
Yeah, so would you say right now it's a great state for receivers in the National Football League, this type of era right now, to be a receiver?
It is, and it's one where if you're putting up these gaudy numbers and stats, you know, teams aren't I don't think the fan base is paying as much attention to wins and losses as much as, wow, look how many points this guy's putting up. I think Antonio Brown, you can make a case, is putting up some tremendous numbers and his team's winning. But then you start to see a sharp fall off with some of the other guys, maybe Julio Jones, the success that Atlanta has had. But for the most part, it's just a bunch of numbers, and that's about it. And it's tough even for guys like myself I talk to on a regular basis. About just, you know, what are our chances of maybe getting a yellow jacket or a gold jacket. It's tough because we can't compete with those numbers. We had to share with running backs. We had to share with fullbacks. We had to, you know, the passing game was a lot different than what it is now. So those numbers are going to be inflated.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, as you've watched through the years, defenses always make adjustments to anything that's successful offensively. And I think that the one thing that you can see this year, there have been some significant adjustments by the defenses. I mean, for example, the yards per attempt league-wide is down probably to the lowest, well, in about 5 years at 6.2 yards an attempt. And the completion average is starting over a four-year cycle is going down a tick each year. It was 11.7 a few years ago. Now it's down to 11.3. So it looks like with some of the adjustments with what teams are doing at corner, some man-type stuff, and also with some of the cover one, cover three, there are some ways that some defenses are trying to catch up to it.
With the athleticism of the defensive linemen and the fact that you can flex some of these guys, you're also seeing that you can get to the quarterback with four by rushing four and dropping seven. With that, it allows you to really start to focus in a little bit more on the passing game and hope that, you know, you can have the coverage sustained long enough to where those guys can make their way to the quarterback.
As a receiver, what are some of the guys that you love watching now?
You know, Antonio Brown is a guy in particular I like watching. Hopkins, with the Texans, watching how he works, even though he's got a lot of quarterbacks that are throwing the ball to him. And why I say Antonio Brown, because he plays all around. He plays all over the field. He's short. He plays underneath. He plays in the middle. And he also can take you deep. And then he takes a short pass and turns it into a big game. And do you have an appreciation in a game where it's supposed to be these big receivers that a guy as small as he is able to go out and make things happen like that? But then I always look at, Julio Jones and just his ability. He's a big guy who can run. And I like seeing those big, fluid wide receivers that can make plays.
What about a guy like Doug Baldwin, who is so successful in just kind of being smart out of the slot?
Doug has been consistent, and the fact that he comes up and makes big plays at critical times, I think he's a guy that moves the chains. And he's a player, when you look at Seattle, that I think he's been able to be just a dependable receiver. And I think that makes a big difference for a quarterback's confidence.
No question. And, of course, you being a former Lion, I mean, obviously following the team, had to be tough to see the team not make the playoffs this year. It just seems like the Lions are close so many times but just can't get over the top.
Yeah, it's tough because the organization tries to make all the right moves to put this team in a position to be in postseason play and to be in a position to win championships and have the right team on the field, the right coaching staff. And when you look at it and you have that revolving door of, hey, we tried this, but it didn't work. We tried this, but it didn't work. That shows that they're trying to get something to happen. But if you don't get any of those things to stick, you can't build. You can't have consistency. You can't say, okay, we're learning as we go what we've done wrong, and we're avoiding that in the future. And unfortunately, we're back at the same spot. And even though the Lions have made the playoffs in the last couple of years, the problem you run into is you play the game for championships. You play the game for postseason victories. And unfortunately, even in the 90s, we went six times, and we only had one playoff win. That's tough. That's tough for any organization, any fan base to swallow.
No doubt. And, of course, the one thing is a great quarterback there in Matthew Stafford. And, he's right in the middle of his career. But, the clock keeps tipping and ticking. You don't want to try to lose his opportunity to really take the team as far as it can.
And you definitely don't want to set him back. He's really become the leader. He's become the solid voice for this organization and for this franchise. And right now, he's elevated the players around him in his play. I think not only his mental toughness, but his physical toughness, the ability to go out and say, okay, I was this type of quarterback. Now I've been transformed into this type that can now not only lead, but I can make the guys around me better, no matter who's in and who's out. That's what you look for in a quarterback, and that's what you look for in a franchise player. However, you need it on both sides of the ball. You got to find those guys that can go and elevate an entire unit like he did on the offensive side. You got to get that also on the defensive side.
No doubt. Well, Herm, it's great to talk to you because, again, always marveled at the way that you were able to play, always rooted for your success, and, of course, great relationship right now with Quick Lane's Tire and Auto Center. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.